tonight's Walking Dead recap is 60 seconds away, but first I want to thank our friends over at TrueCar, because in order to feel comfortable you're getting a fair price, you need pricing context when you're buying a car. Information that empowers you to feel confident. With TrueCar, you get to see what other people in your local market paid for the car that you want, and from there, you can connect with a local TrueCar certified dealer and enjoy a more confident car buying experience. You know, that's probably what Gregory should have said when Maggie said, "Hey, is that Father Gabriel's car?" Like, no, I saw what he had and I went out in TrueCar and got the same exact car. That'll explain everything. Because with TrueCar, you can easily find the car that you want. Say you want the Father Gabriel mobile. TrueCar will show you what other people in your area, whether it's Alexandria, the Hilltop, whatevs, for the car that you want. Now you know what a fair price is and you can feel confident. And once you register, you can see pricing on the actual inventory. That's competitive pricing offered to you only by a TrueCar certified dealer for an actual vehicle on their lot. It's pricing that you'll see before you go to the dealership so you can feel confident when you show up. And with TrueCar, you can connect with a local certified dealer if you're choosing, so you can enjoy a quick and easy car buying experience. TrueCar users save an average of over $3,000 off of MSRP. So when you're ready to buy, visit TrueCar to enjoy a more confident car buying experience. Some features are not available in all states. The Walking Dead Season 8, Episode number 3 is over, but we're just getting started here on The Walking Dead post-show recap. And now, here are the two people who are ready to roll like walkers on a hill. I'm Rob Cisternino here with Jessica Leese. Jessica, how are you?
I'm doing great, Rob. I wanted to let you know that you left some sorghum pancakes out, and I kind of ate them. I didn't realize they were yours.
Yeah. Who was the girl that Gregory ate the sorghum pancakes of?
I don't know.
Was that on screen?
That was not on screen. It was off screen. It seemed like kind of a petty thing to bring up in the moment.
Yeah. Okay. Well, any excuse to get sorghum in there is fine with me. Jess, very excited to get into the third episode here of The Walking Dead Season 8. This is the first of the podcasts that I'm going to be recording on the road this week while I am in New York for the live Survivor show and the live Seinfeld show of on post-show recaps, the final edition of the Seinfeld rewatch that I've done over 3.5 years with Akiva Whitaker. But we've got a lot to get to here tonight in episode number 3. How are you doing?
I'm doing great, Rob. This was
better than Morales.
Yeah.
Well, better than Eric.
Yep.
Better than a lot of the Knights of the Kingdom.
Yep, better than a lot of those guys.
Yeah.
Better than Minkus.
When you look at it through that prism, really, yeah, all of our problems are first world problems.
It's true. First world non-zombie apocalypse problems.
Yeah. Okay. So we got a lot to get to. Of course, if you want to make sure you don't miss an episode of our recap, you can subscribe. postshowrecaps.com/TWD iTunes. All right, Jess. So I guess we have to start with, we spent a lot of time talking last week about the return of Morales. What did it mean? Where was this going? What was going to be the big reason to bring Morales back 100 episodes later? Why now? Why Morales? What was it? It was the tip of the iceberg that we saw last week, but what was beneath the ocean surface?
This was basically, it was that scene in Raiders of the Lost Ark with the guy with the fancy swords and Indy with the gun.
Yeah. Oh, poor Morales. Poor Morales. I mean, this was his big moment of glory to come back. And boy, Morales was ready to go. Morales was monologuing like a mofo. He was ready. And he said, "You know, Rick, you and I, we've both been on this same journey from there to here. And nothing you say matters. And I'm taking you to Negan and we're going to settle this." And then Daryl just kills him.
Yeah. Well, I thought Rick made a mistake in that moment. Like, I think Rick should have led with, "Yeah, by the way, this Negan guy that you're hanging out with that you think's so cool, he killed Glenn, who you were actually friends with, instead of, you know, as opposed to me, who you kind of knew for a couple of days. You actually lived with Glenn. in the days following the zombie apocalypse. You guys were friends and Negan just killed him in cold blood out of nowhere. That's what Rick should have led with, but it took him like 20 minutes of this episode to get to that point.
No, instead it was that, you know, Morales just looks at Negan as everybody else treated Morales like, hey, aren't you the Morales that you were only on like four episodes? You're nothing. You're nothing. And Negan was like, oh, hey, I see a lot of potential in you. And that's where he's like Negan believed in him.
Sure. It sure seems like a lot of people are really eager to join the Saviors based on like one little crumb of praise that gets thrown their way.
Yeah, Negan, that he comes in and his flattery will get you everywhere, I guess, is Negan's motto, because he just comes in and really sucks a lot of kneecaps and everybody is like, I am Negan now.
I'm ready to work myself to the bone for credits in this strange dystopian dictatorship.
Yeah, a lot of people are just like, you know, the thing about Negan, he's very intimidating, but he's very complimentary. He's menacing, yet very gracious with the compliments. I have to say that is an infectious combination.
Like, maybe these credits that people, like, are these, is that what they call them? Credits? I can't remember, but whatever they work, the point system that they're working for, every point can be cashed in for a compliment from Negan.
Yeah, you could just keep, you know, racking them up. So, but Morales ends up getting shot with one of Daryl's arrows as Daryl comes around the corner. This is starting to feel like a meme this season where somebody is really just being set up as like an important character and then Daryl just kills them.
Yeah, they're basically being arsted.
Yeah. Right, because we saw it happen twice tonight where there was a character who was like sort of like in the midst of like talking to Rick about something and it looked like it was going somewhere and then Daryl's just like, we don't have time for this.
This cast is big enough.
We got enough people. Yeah. I don't know. The guy was talking too much.
Daryl has no patience for this stuff.
No, he does not even care. And then, you know, with Morales, it was funny because right after Daryl shot Morales, Rick was like, do you know who that was? And, you know,
Daryl's like, yeah.
Daryl's like, yeah. And I didn't care. You know, it's like, it would have been funnier, I think, if Rick was like, hold on, Daryl, do you know who that was? And Daryl's like, no. It was it. And like, it was Morales. And Daryl would be like, who? No. Remember Morales?
He was in four episodes.
Yeah. No, I don't remember. That would have been great. But no, what was Daryl? Like eavesdropping the whole time?
Yeah, he was. I guess it was to the point he figured Rick would handle his business until he couldn't. And then he'd step in.
Yeah, that would be like stepping on Rick's toes if he would have just come in and killed Morales before Rick had the chance to.
Yeah, they have an understanding. And, you know, I think everybody was kind of waiting around to see if maybe Morales would just choke to death while he was chewing on all the scenery.
Boy, Morales did make the most out of like his time on the screen tonight. I really felt like Morales was putting everything he got into his dialogue.
Yeah, I don't even know how he got back on the show in the first place. And my best guess is that the actor has some like compromising photographs of Scott Gimple. And he was like, hey, I get to have a big monologue and you're going to bring me back onto the show or I'm going to put these on the internet.
No, you know what it is? I think that basically the Walking Dead is treating season 8 and 100 episodes. It's like the Seinfeld finale of seasons where we're just going to invent any reason we can to bring anybody back into the mix as like sort of a celebration of 100 episodes. Instead of a clip show, I feel like anybody who is alive that we can get back into the mix, any storyline we could revisit, I feel like that's what they're going to try to do.
Yeah, and they're not the only show that does it by a long shot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So Morales, we had our bet last week. Would Morales get more or less screen time than in season 1, where he appeared in four episodes? It was closer to 4 minutes for Morales.
Well, in fairness, he got a lot of screen time this episode. I think more than he'd gotten in any individual episode up to this point.
Yeah, but he might have had more dialogue. He had more lines in season 8.
That's not really dialogue if nobody else can get a word in edgewise.
Yeah, and it seems like it was a tragic tale for Morales. They never made it to Birmingham. He lost his family, and then Negan just found him.
Scooped him right up.
Scooped him right up. So maybe Morales could figure prominently if we ever get the Negan flashback episode. I wonder if Morales will be a part of it.
I can't imagine. Like, you would have to bend, you'd have to do some pretty like pretzel-y twists of plot to force Morales back into there in some kind of way that makes any sort of narrative sense.
Yeah, you could do it. You could do it. And we'd figure out a way to be able to get him into the mix. It'll be like in yesterday's Enterprise when Tasha Yar was alive in an alternate timeline.
Yeah. Maybe Morales will come back like as his own son in the future.
Yeah. All right. I don't want to turn this into the Discovery recap. Our other big loss tonight, Jess, Eric, unfortunately, very sadly, nobody saw this coming. Eric, a casualty of the all-out war.
I think everybody saw this coming, Rob. Every time that guy showed up on screen, like from the first episode he was in, I was like, oh, this guy's here to die. And he just kept not dying. I knew it was coming at some point, and here it is.
Well, Eric did fulfill his manifest destiny and ultimately became a zombie in The Walking Dead. And he got this gut shot last week. I mean, you and I speculated, like, was there a chance he was going to survive it? And we said, you know, why tease this? Why push this into next week? We don't have a great reason for that. He ultimately does die sort of uneventfully. He has a, you know, sort of a long goodbye with Aaron. And then, and, you know, this was like very much like some sort of like Oliver Stone war movie where it was like, you get back there, get back in there, Aaron.
Yeah.
Don't wait here with me.
You go save Private Ryan.
Yeah, go for it. Get back out there. And then Aaron came back and looked for Eric, but alas, he was not there. He was a walker.
He had just gotten up and wandered off. He was like 100 yards away.
Right. And then Eric, he was on The Talking Dead tonight. He also he did an interview with Dalton Ross, who Dalton Ross very generously tweeted earlier tonight that he has an interview with the first major casualty from the all-out war. Very generous of Dalton Ross to describe it that way.
Are you sure Dalton Ross wasn't just talking about Morales?
Well, he tweeted an interview with Eric.
Okay.
Yeah, so very kind Dalton Ross. That Dalton Ross must have a real soft spot for Eric to describe it as that. But that he talked about how that it was the scene of him as a zombie. Originally, that wasn't him, but Eric begged production to let him go out and shoot it as him.
And it kind of had the unintentional side effect of looking like the last scene in Harry and the Hendersons.
Yes. The caption is, we go behind the scenes with the actor whose character became All Out War's first big death. Also, a little bit of a subtweet jab at Morales, I thought.
That could be.
Yes.
And also at Minkus.
Yes. Now, are you subtweeting Harry from Harry and the Hendersons?
A little bit, maybe.
Yeah. Why? The effects were did not hold up?
Well, the effects were okay, but the melodrama doesn't hold up.
Would you like to see Greg Nicotero involved in a remake of Harry and the Hendersons?
He's got to do something, man.
Well, no, I think he's going to do 100 more years of The Walking Dead.
Well, that's true. But Walking Dead, you know, they don't shoot 24/7, 365.
Yeah. So, all right. Eric is gone. I mean, is there anything to say about Eric being off the show? I mean, does this free Aaron up to pursue somebody else, or is it too soon?
Well, I don't want to give away too much of, I'm a comic book reader, but I think it's safe to say that Aaron, if the show is going to follow the comics, I think Aaron will find love again. I think he will find the courage to heal. But right now, he's got his hands full.
Okay. Is the Aaron and Eric storyline in the comics, Jess?
Yes, it is.
Oh, okay, good. All right. So that, and Eric suffers the same fate in the comics.
Eric dies much sooner. Oh. I think, if I'm recalling correctly, which I don't have the wiki open in front of me, and it's been a while since I've reread the comics, but I think he actually dies in the, when the walkers breach the wall in Alexandria.
Okay. So he, passed his expiration date.
Yeah. He's been around for much longer than he was in the comics.
Okay.
As I recall, I could be totally off base in this, but I know he is dead in the comic universe because Aaron has moved on.
Okay. So outside of the two deaths tonight, there were some other developing storylines. We saw last week, of course, the friction between Jesus and Tara, which then spilled into Morgan versus Jesus. But that really boiled over tonight, Jess, as Morgan and Jesus got into hand-to-hand combat.
Yeah, I think this was just a contrivance to show off that these two are good at martial arts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, these are two of our best martial arts fighters that are out there. And what would you say? They battled to a draw? Do you feel like that Morgan got the upper hand?
I feel like Jesus actually won until he gave Morgan his stick back.
Yeah. And Jesus was like, all right, this ends now. This ends now, Morgan. Stop it.
And Morgan's like, oh, does it?
Yeah. Oh, does it?
Does
yeah,
it really?
Morgan walked off. Now, what should we make of that?
I think this show needs to stop relying on that as a plot device. Like, I am so sick of characters just kind of deciding, I can't handle this complex morality anymore. I have to go away because I'm tired of killing, or I want to kill and people aren't killing enough. I have to be away from these people now. And like three episodes later, Morgan's going to save everybody.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, we've definitely seen this both ways of the, hey, I want to kill everybody and you guys aren't letting me. And then there's also the, I don't want to kill anybody anymore. I have to go off. This is a little bit of the Eric Cartman of, screw you guys, yep. I'm going home.
Yep.
Yeah, wait, Morgan, what's going on? Screw you guys. That's it. I'm out of here. I don't know where Morgan is off to.
I don't either. Like, maybe he's off in search of a goat.
Yeah. Well, is Morgan just going to wander the woods aimlessly now?
Yeah, he's going to.
Does he have a mission?
He's going to wander the woods aimlessly for two or three episodes, and then he's going to come across some combat. And he's going to sneak in and destroy the saviors and everybody's going to be happy and he's going to stop being crazy Clear Morgan again.
Well, that is good. I mean, if it ended that way.
I'm almost certain of it. It's like he's going to be part of like, you know, the Game of Thrones battle episode ending where like he's the cavalry that rides
he's
in
the
at
cavalry.
The last minute. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll keep an eye out for Morgan. I mean, he ended up in that scenario as we had like the long chain gang of people that were being marched back to the hilltop. And there was the guy who was the whistling guy. Jess, have we seen him before?
Yes. Yes, we have. In fact, this came up last week on the podcast. This guy's name is Jared.
Yes.
And he is the guy who killed Morgan's teenage buddy, Benjamin.
Okay, was he one of the guys that was part of, like, the cantaloupe delivery incident?
Yeah, yes, that's him.
Okay. All right.
I didn't know either. I had to look it up last week, which is the only reason I know this week.
Right. And so that he was part of, like, that whole exchange that happened last season. And then, ultimately, he's still negging Morgan.
Yeah, he's kind of a jerk.
Yeah, that, you know, we definitely did get that. And so he has to bring up the kid that died and Morgan is wearing his armor. It's just a sore spot all around for Morgan.
Yeah, and I imagine he has many sore spots because I bet that too tight armor is digging into him. It's probably one of the reasons he's getting angry all the time.
Yeah. Jess, what did you think of the rolling walkers?
That was pretty fun.
Yeah, I thought it was fun. I mean, I've never seen that before.
Yeah, they were stopping, dropping, and rolling. It was,
yeah.
It was pretty entertaining, actually.
Right. I mean, you would think that there would be like a lot of walkers at the bottom of the hill. It seemed like that's happening a lot.
I think maybe the fence had just recently breached, like either because someone breached it or just because that happens from time to time. Like, you know, when they were at the quarry and they had like the pit full of walkers, and then like all of a sudden you see in front of everybody, you see them like breach that truck and start walking out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Jess, then we see this group eventually get to the hilltop where Maggie is there waiting. She has had a run-in with Gregory early in the episode. Gregory is just so much fun. I mean, he's the biggest douche in the entire world, but he is just fun whenever he gets on the screen.
Yeah, yeah. It's really got to be fun to play the guy that, like, even Negan's like, wow, man, you're a jerk.
Yeah. I liked when he got to the fence and he was like, all right, I'm back. Open the fence. And then they opened it like a crack. And he's like, oh, there must be some problem with the fence because it didn't open all the way. It hasn't opened wide enough for me to be able to get in. And Maggie's just like, you're not coming in here, Gregory. That's it. We've had enough of you.
Yeah, I actually like the part where he's like selling Cal out. And then Cal pokes his head up like, hey, I'm right here, guys.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that there I can explain everything. But yeah, he tries to come around and says, look, you know what? I did betray you. But now I realize that you guys are right. The saviors can't be negotiated with, that we must destroy them.
Yeah. And eventually Maggie says, let him in, which is inexplicable. She says he's not worth killing. But, you know, there's some middle ground here.
Mm-hmm. Right. It does seem as though we are sort of really caught on The Walking Dead between, you know, without a real criminal justice system in the zombie apocalypse, we're sort of just stuck with like, well, what do? We either let him go, chain him up, or then we kill him. Like, they really just have three options.
Yeah, and apparently Maggie found the fourth option, which is, like, letting him back in to eat your food and play with your Xbox and, like, sleep on your mattresses.
Right. So you feel like that the appropriate sentence would have been, look, Gregory, we're not going to kill you, but you can't stay here.
Yeah, you can't come in.
You don't have to go home, but you can't stay here.
Yeah. Or, you know, at the very least, like, tie him up to the saviors and put him in the trailer with them.
Yeah, or yeah, you hang out with the saviors. I mean, or he could pick what he wants.
Yeah, he could pick. And, you know, I would say that, you know, cozy house in the hilltop, not on the table.
Yeah. And so you're right. Inexplicable that they let him in. It's just one of those things where he's good TV. So I don't mind. I'm not going to get bent out of shape that they're going to keep him around. But then we get all of the people that got brought over from the hilltop, and Maggie has to decide what to do with Jesus very heavily pushing on, like, hey, these guys surrendered. We can't kill them. We have to, you know, offer them some sort of, you know, place to put them until the war is over.
Yeah, they've invoked parlay or something.
Right.
Yeah, and I think it's pretty amazing that Tara's been insisting this whole time, like, Maggie's going to be with me. She's going to be on my side about this. She's going to say, kill them. She's going to be totally on board with this plan. And then you see Maggie, pretty much, she's not going to kill Gregory. She's probably not going to kill these randos either.
Right. And it's funny because Gregory is like really in the mix of saying like, we have to kill them. What are you guys doing? That's crazy. We got to kill these guys. And Maggie is just like, Gregory, oh my God, get out of here.
Apparently not literally.
I can't even with you right now, Gregory. Come on.
She literally can't even.
Literally, Gregory, I can't even. Stop. Stop. Like, okay, I'm just saying. So, yeah, they are going to, what, put them in like a trailer? Is that what they're putting them in?
Yeah, well, you know, they have a bunch of mobile homes at the hilltop.
Okay. So these guys are going to go in the mobile home. I mean, how many prisoners are we talking? Are there like 50 people? Are there 100?
Not 100. I thought a couple dozen at most.
A couple dozen.
And, you know, their numbers are depleted. A bunch of them got eaten while they were out there.
Yeah.
I don't know how many are left, but it's not an insane number, like enough to fit in a couple of trailers.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know what they do with these sort of enemy combatants, like what can be done. I feel like we haven't run into this scenario before.
Well, there's no Geneva Convention in the zombie apocalypse world.
No, unfortunately, there's not even a Geneva Convention, because that was terrible. That was one of the worst things I've ever done on a podcast, Jess.
Trying to force a hashtag.
Yeah, no, I should not have done that, but you know, I'm jet lagged. Anyway, Jess, so let's talk about what's going on with Ezekiel, because I talked about this last week, where Ezekiel feels like that he is completely out of character, where he was, you know, this very pragmatic ruler, where he wanted to just like, you know, maintain this idea that he was some sort of like a, you know, emperor and a king, and that he had built up this kingdom, and he didn't want to take his people into battle. But I guess now that he has, he's really become like super cocky and to the point where he's like making all of these, you know, just bragging about how we will not lose one person. We will not even one. It's like, okay, well, you keep saying that. Eventually it was going to come back to bite them. I thought that Shiva the Tiger was going to be that one tonight, but no, they end up walking into an ambush by the end of the episode.
Yeah. Well, I got to disagree with you, Rob. I don't think this is out of character for Ezekiel. Because I think his kingship has always been performative, and he has always known that if he keeps up this illusion that he's an amazing leader, the perception is the reality. So whether he is at home at the kingdom, like keeping order and like shielding people from the threat of the saviors, or out there in the world leading people into battle, I think his perception of it is that he's just going to be this tremendous leader, and everything he does is decisive and positive and charged up, and everybody's just going to kind of fall in line with that because they're looking to someone who can be a confident leader. And so he's just that guy, whatever decision he's made. And it seemed like it was a little out of character. We didn't get to see his thought process when he decided to join the fight, but I say, even if we didn't get to see exactly how he came to join the fight, we got to know that when he joins that fight, he joins at 150,000%.
Yeah, well, he's in it big time, and just kept saying throughout the night about how, look at what we're doing. We saw a little bit of a flashback to that original speech that he was giving last week, with then they came up with an idea that they were going to be surrounded, and then it looked like King Ezekiel was going to surrender himself, but then there was just like a hail of bullets from different people from the kingdom forces, just blowing those guys away. And Ezekiel was really feeling it up until the end of the episode, when they walked into some sort of an ambush that took out a bunch of people. Do we know what their mission is yet, Jess?
I think we don't really clearly know what they're supposed to do, but there's a particular outpost, I think.
I feel like that would help. I feel like that would help.
They're going to a particular outpost, and I can't remember if it's the one with the satellite dishes or if it's another one, but they're supposed to just go and like get all the people out of it. And I guess they're like claiming territory, I guess, like getting all the supplies out of it and like getting rid of all the people so that Negan doesn't have another place to go and hide out in. And I think what they miscalculated this time was all these guns that Rick and Daryl were supposed to be looking for turn out to actually be in this outpost and not the one that Rick and Daryl were at.
Okay. Is that confirmed?
It's not confirmed, but you see those same guns in the previews for next week, and there's a lot of gunfire for what they thought was going to be a pretty much empty spot.
Yeah. I really thought that Carol was becoming so smitten with Ezekiel in this episode when, you know, he just kept talking about, we have not lost one, not one. And Carol was just like, she was melting.
Yeah. She had her Carol smile on her face.
Yeah.
She didn't say much. Did Carol say anything at all this episode? That was kind of weird.
I don't know. She was just like batting eyes at Ezekiel the entire episode. I mean, really, if this Carol and Ezekiel thing really ends up, I mean, look at how far Carol has upgraded from her original boo on The Walking Dead.
Up from Ed.
Yeah, Ed. Yeah, no mention of Ed in the Morales talk. You know, I did feel like that Dale really did get hosed in when Rick was talking about, like, I've lost people. That he gave the whole list of people that he had lost. Lori, Shane, Andrea, Glenn. Dale completely just glossed over.
Yeah, no Dale, no T-Dog.
Yeah, no T-Talk. Yeah, both
no,
those guys.
No, whatever that Jackie, the woman that blew up the CDC.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it was a couple people at Morales. But in fairness, he didn't ask about them.
That's true. He didn't. And I'm surprised he didn't, because he sure had a lot of other things to say.
He had a lot of things to say. And, you know, he did have the animosity towards Rick. But what are you going to do? We'll see if that gets explored more in the Morales flashback episode to come. We don't think that, you know, for one second anything happened to Ezekiel or Carol, right?
No, they got plot armor for now.
Okay. What about the woman with the bow and arrow?
I hope not. Is that Diana, I think her name
Diana.
Is.
Diana, yeah, that sounds right.
I hope not. I think she's pretty cool.
She's pretty cool. Jerry better be okay.
Oh, yeah. There will be rioting if Jerry dies.
Right. That's right. So hopefully we'll see what happens there at, you know, after this big ambush at the end of the episode. Let's talk a little bit about the character who popped up in the premiere, who was the guy who was trying to reach out to Carl when he was filling up the gas tank. I'm pretty sure I saw like a BuzzFeed article about how this mysterious character is the key to season 8 of The Walking Dead. Maybe not so much.
Maybe not. I think there's been some buzz that this guy is a character from the comics who hasn't appeared in the show yet, but
or not.
I think we gotta wait and see. Like, this could just be a total red herring.
I mean, he's dead, right?
Is he dead?
I thought Daryl shot him in the head.
I don't think that's the same guy.
Okay, so the guy who was yelling at Rick was not the same guy that was talking to Carl at the start of the season.
I don't think so.
Supposed to be the same guy.
No, I don't think that's supposed to be the same guy. I think the guy at the end of the episode that Daryl kills is one of the saviors.
Okay, all right. Well,
that's the guy that was Minkus from Boy Meets World.
Okay, sorry about that.
And the only reason I know that is because I had the closed captions on, and it identifies him when he speaks.
See, I usually have the closed captions on, and I thought that basically, because it was the same sort of idea of, okay, mysterious character, just like sort of monologuing from, again, I thought that that was the same guy from the first episode, that was his thing.
Yeah, no, I think, yeah, I found something on Mashable about how they think that this is a guy who was.
I do read the Mashable.
Comics. Yeah, they mentioned it in the Mashable because this is a character that shows up later on in the comics. And they think that this rando that was talking to Carl in the last episode is that guy. And he's not dead yet, as far
okay.
as I know.
Okay. Jess, we also saw at the end of the episode that Rick took baby Grace. Rick called her Gracie, which I don't believe that's what her name was, on the wall, and then handed her off to Aaron to go to the hilltop. She'll be safe there.
Yeah, I think there are kind of two arguments we can make here. One is maybe you don't give the guy who's blinded by grief a baby to take care of, because mm-hmm. he's probably going to have a hard time taking care of himself right
it's
now.
It's a lot of life events at one time.
Yeah. But on the other hand, you know, he's just lost someone. She's just lost someone. Maybe they just need each other in this crazy world.
Yeah. Okay, Jess, let me bring in some of the questions from the listeners of the podcast. And let me bring you one from Wiley Wigmore on Twitter, who asks us, do you have any thoughts on the theory the future little girl was this new baby and not Judith in the flash forward, meaning Judith died? This was something that came up on our last Walking Dead feedback show. I kind of poo-pooed it, but after tonight, I definitely might be buying stock in this idea, Jess.
Yeah, I think they did take great pains to resolve that loose end of the baby, because I would have been, I don't know, maybe, I felt like a lot of stuff this episode was really just the writers of the series looking out there and thinking there's someone out there that's going to be upset about this one unresolved loose end, so we got to tie this up. So, you know, the guy on the walkie-talkie from last episode, we got to kill him. And, you know, there's people out there wondering what happened to Morales in the first season. We got to bring him back and kill him. And, you know, people are wondering about Eric and Aaron and Eric. Are they going to be together forever? Are they our OTP? No, we got to kill them. I feel like maybe out there the writers were thinking there's someone out there that's going to be really upset if we don't.
One of the questions people were really upset about are Aaron and Eric going to be our OTP?
Well, it's as much, I think the number of people thinking Aaron and Eric are their OTP are the same as the number of people that were really clamoring for Morales to come back.
Okay. But what about this idea, Jess, that do you think is baby Gracie the girl that we see in the flash forward?
I think they had to tie up the baby thing because there was going to be like five people like me that are really upset about the idea that Rick just left a random baby to get potentially eaten. And I think that's the main reason that we saw something happen to the baby. But I think it's a wacky theory.
Oh, really? See, I thought you were going to say that you were in on this. So I'm much more in on it than you.
It would explain so many things. Like, I'm saying it's wacky, but it might have traction. It is plausible. It's wacky, but plausible.
What do you think it would explain?
It would explain all of these random shots of Rick being like bowled over by grief. It would explain, you know, because there's not that many people left on the show that if Rick lost them, it would totally wreck him. And you see him pretty much wrecked. And then you see the flash forward, and clearly the person he lost is not his girlfriend or his son or his daughter, or is it his daughter?
Yeah.
But on the other hand, I can't imagine like Rick leaping up to say, oh, I just lost my daughter. I'm going to take this other random replacement daughter. That seems implausible to me.
Yeah. I mean, in some ways, it's a little bit of a zero sum game. I mean, that Rick is with baby Judith for what? Say, would you say 10% of the time, if that?
If that. Like, we see Judith like two or three times a season, and she's a different actor every time.
And, you know, I'm sure people will say that I'm being very callous here. Again, not his biological daughter. I mean, he's really just replaced one blonde little girl baby for another little blonde girl baby that is not his.
I guess. He's probably not. But then again, like, if he loses Judith, is he going to be that broken up over it?
I would think he's, I mean, yeah, I'm sure that as a parent, he would be very broken up about it. It just seems weird. It's like that he's like, well, I'll just adopt this other baby.
Yeah, that's what I'm calling implausible. I think the rest of it explains a lot about what's going on in that flash forward and in the interstitial scenes of Rick sobbing at a gravesite.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, and then, I was going to say that is Rick ever going to have the awkward conversation with Gracie about what happened to her dad? But, you know, frankly, that he's got to have that conversation with Judith, one with the other, about how Rick had to ultimately murder Shane.
I think Rick is probably never going to tell Judith that Shane is a thing.
Yeah, probably not. I mean, that would save a very awkward conversation.
Yeah. I mean, who's around? Like, Carl's not going to bring it up.
Yeah. I mean, if I may have permission to talk comic book spoilers, and we did say that we would do that at the end of these episodes a little bit when it came up. So if I may, for 60 seconds, discuss comic book spoilers, okay, starting now. Just, I mean, this was something that we talked about back in season 4, where the show did fake us out. I mean, this was the original Glenn's dumpster of that. They made us think that something had happened to baby Judith because that her car seat was empty. Obviously, we talked about it a lot then, but baby Judith dies in the comics and she was spared. I mean, ultimately, is that debt going to have to be paid?
Not necessarily. I mean, we have a few characters kicking around now that have been dead for years and years in the comics, and that ended up pretty much bearing zero resemblance to their counterparts on the show.
Mm-hmm.
So I think, you know, Carol, for example, like show Carol and comic Carol, practically not the same character at all. And yet, you know, comic Carol died at the prison and show Carol is alive and well and pretty much one of the driving forces on the show.
Right.
So I think pretty much you do have to imagine that certain characters, if they're dead in the comics and there's not much for them to do, the show will kill them off in due course.
Okay. Like
Denise lasts a little bit longer than in the comics than she does on the show. Morgan is dead, I believe, at this point in the comics. But if they've got interesting things to do, they might stick around a little longer. I don't see Morgan dying anytime in the next like 3 or 4 episodes at least.
Well, 3 or 4 episodes at least. I should hope he's going to stick around longer than that.
I would hope so too. I mean, he's a great character, but they could be, you know, they could be out on Morgan at this point because he has nothing else to do from the comics, but you know, or they could have a lot for him left to do and he could continue for many, many years. I don't think it's a given that somebody that dies in the comics is going to die on the show.
Okay, Jess.
That's what I'm saying.
Let's take a few more questions. This is an important question from Jeff Davis, who asks us, why does Rick have the flash on when he's taking Polaroids outside in full daylight? Batteries have to be getting scarce by now.
Well, say nothing for Polaroid film, but I can give you a plausible explanation for this.
People were mad Rick was shaking the photograph, that you don't need to do that with a Polaroid.
No, you really don't. Like, Outcast lied to you.
Yeah, no matter what Andre 3000 says.
Yeah. But if a subject is incredibly backlit to the point where if you take a photo of them, all you will get is a silhouette and a bunch of lens flare, you can mitigate that by putting the flash on and taking a picture with the flash. So maybe Rick's subject was extremely backlit.
Are these Chekhov's Polaroids? I mean, we've seen this go on for a while now. I mean, is Rick going to make a collage for Negan at some point and say, look what I did to all these people. You're going to be next if you don't listen.
Well, I think he's going to present Negan with a scrapbook at the end of the war. Like, look at all our fun times together, Negan.
Look at this. Look at this yearbook of our war. Yeah. I don't know.
He's going to sign the last page, like, you know, have a great summer, BFFs.
Can you believe that we haven't seen Father Gabriel since the premiere?
Yeah, I can't believe we haven't seen Negan since the premiere.
Well, the two of them are arm in arm.
Yeah, I think the two of them are like broing down together in the trailer.
Yeah, Maggie was very quick to ask Gregory, like, why do you have Gabriel's car?
Yeah, and Gregory really didn't sell that lie at all.
Yeah, but I mean, Maggie went on to something else. She didn't keep asking about it, so I guess he did good enough.
Yeah. I don't know how Maggie knew it, like, off the top of her head that that's Father Gabriel's car. She doesn't even live in Alexandria anymore. Like, does it have vanity plates on it?
Yeah. Gregory, that's Father Gabriel's whip. What are you doing in that car? Like, oh, I don't know. He gave it to me. That's weird. He was here a minute ago.
Yeah, it's the one with the, you know, honk if you love Episcopalians bumper sticker.
Okay. Brandon wants to know from Twitter, why the F did Jesus and Morgan fight so long that the saviors escaped? Honestly, can they be any dumber?
Yeah, that was really, I felt like that whole conflict was just put together just so the saviors could get could get an edge on them, because otherwise, like, without this conflict, without them like going at each other, it's really kind of a boring story.
Yeah. The storyline of what to do with these prisoners.
Yeah.
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 Yeah, I mean, I guess you had to let them escape somehow. So I guess this was as good of a way as any. Okay, Jess. And Dominic wants to know, Morgan went from man of peace to everyone needs to die. Whether it's wrong or right, how legit crazy is Morgan? Did Morgan die along with the way, like Morales said in his monologue?
Well, I think this is interesting because we've seen Morgan go this direction before and then come back from it. So I think there was even a point during this whole conflict where right after Jesus gives Morgan his staff back and he says, is it over? You see this look come across Morgan's face. And I think this is really testament to Lenny James's abilities as an actor, because for a second there, I thought like, oh, did like Morgan get possessed by the spirit of evil Morgan for a while? And now is he just like coming back to it? Because he had this look of like sheer perplexment on his face for just a moment where I thought, oh, is this what we're doing? Like he's kind of Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde here. But I don't think that's the case now that I've seen him like kind of storm off. But I do think that he's not dead. He's going to find his way back again.
Yeah, I think that certainly we're going to end up seeing him be, you know, factoring in pretty heavily from this point on. I mean, I can't imagine that he's having any sort of a reduced role.
No, he is one of the best actors on a show full of really amazing actors. So I think if you got Lenny James in your cast, you keep him around as long as you can.
Yeah. Jess, do we have any front runners right now for, it's been a weirdly structured season in terms of like looking at MVP and LVP. I know we're only three episodes in, but we've had almost no Carl, almost no Michonne in this season. We only saw Negan in the premiere, almost no Eugene, no garbage people through the three episodes. I mean, this is, I mean, we've really just been sort of like with this same group, really since the premiere.
Well, I think there's a story to be told here, and you know, we got to have every second of that gunfire exchange. Like, people are shooting and people are shooting back. We got to have, make sure we know every single time somebody shot at somebody and somebody else shot back, because otherwise, you know, we might have to go back and find out what happened to these people we care about.
Yeah. Okay. So we'll see ultimately what happens. But it looks like that next week's preview seems like it's just a continuation of what's going on here.
I feel like every single shot from next week's previews could have easily been from this week, except for the one like meaningful close up of the type of gun that Daryl and Rick were looking for.
Okay. So we will see where it ultimately ends up going. Jess, do you have any thoughts on a hashtag for tonight?
Well, I think the only memorable thing you came up with was Jen Shiva convention, which is positively Wiggler worthy.
No, it should not be that. Fine. Let's go with it. But as like my penance for, you know, the worst hashtag I ever said. So then I have to look at that and then sort of be able to like really just like whip myself of like never
shame
never
shame.
Again. Never again. Okay. All right. Well, Jess, great work here tonight. We will not be having a feedback show this week while I'm on the road. The reason being that we normally record that on Wednesday. That's the day of the live show that we're doing here for Rob Has a Podcast. And my schedule is just going to be too tight to pull that off. So we will reconvene in 1 week's time for our recap of episode number 4 of The Walking Dead Season 8 when I am back in the studio. Of course, until then, Jess and I are very happy to hear what you guys have to say, both on Twitter, where Jess is at Haymaker Hattie, I'm at Rob Cesternino, and in the comments on postshowrecaps.com. Jess, I want to commend you. You are very responsive to the comments.
I do my best.
Yes. So good job there. Always appreciate the feedback, both good and bad, about the show and the episode there at postshowrecaps.com. Of course, be on the lookout for much more Star Trek Discovery, Curb Your Enthusiasm, Mr. Robot, the Game of Thrones rewatch, all happening on postshowrecaps.com. Until next time, have a good one, everybody. Take care. Bye.